It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time as we come into your homes and spend this half hour with you. We count it our privilege. If you have your Bibles now, will you please turn with me, if you will, to the little book of Jonah, which it has four chapters, and while you're turning there, let me just again run through the outline real fast. We find in Jonah chapter 1, which we are going to finish up today and then begin here in Jonah chapter 2. We find Jonah chapter 1 that Jonah is running away from the Lord. He's a type of the backslidden Christian. And then we find chapter 2, he's running to God. Chapter 3, he's running with God. And then in chapter 4, he's running ahead of God. So if we're over here now to the little book of Jonah, let us go here, if you will, and begin here in chapter 1, verse 12, as we retrace just a second. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now, something very interesting here, we find out that Jonah realized, first of all, that he was under the chastening hand of God. He realized that. He said, This tempest has come because of me. And that's the first place to start when you're in a backslidden condition. Now, we're speaking about a Christian now. When a Christian sins after they are saved, they never lose their salvation. God never takes that away. You never got your salvation by good works. You do not lose it because you do not have good works. But what you can lose is your fellowship. And the Lord has said here, especially for Christians here in 1 John chapter 1, he says, now speaking about Christians now, he said, If a man say that he hath no sin, he deceiveth himself, and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the very first thing, if you're listening, and maybe you're a Christian, maybe you quit going to church, maybe you quit reading your Bible, maybe you begin to hang out with the wrong crowd, the wrong people, and honestly, truthfully, you're going to have to come to a point where you look at yourself in the mirror, in the light of God's Word, and realize and be honest with yourself, the problem is because of me. And that's exactly what Jonah did. He said, This tempest has come upon you because of me. And the first place for a backslidden Christian to start is to quit blaming everyone else for the problems in their lives. Quit hunting all the mistakes of everyone around them and excuses why they don't go to church and reasons why that they do not have their fellowship with other Christians, and realize the point that God wants you. He wants you to be honest with yourself and then to be honest with Him. And He said, Therefore, if you say that you have no sin, if you don't recognize that you're the problem because if you quit serving the Lord, then you'll just have to go on and be under the chastening hand of God, and a good chance things will get absolutely worse and worse and worse. But if you'll be honest with the Lord, confess it as Jonah did here, you find that God in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, If we'll confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and God wants to do that to you. If you're in a backslidden condition listening this morning, things aren't going right in your life, and they won't, then confess that to the Lord. You don't have to go to a pastor. You don't have to go to anyone else, but confess it to the Lord, and you'll find that the Lord will forgive you, and you can, as you begin to walk in the light then, begin to change the things in your life. Begin to start back to church. Begin to start reading your Bible. Begin to start praying to the Lord. Begin to start talking to Him, thanking Him for the good things He's done for you, asking to help you in your decisions and the things. And then you have a communion and a relationship and a fellowship that God wants you to have with Him. Remember this, when you got in that condition, you left the Lord. The Lord never left you. Now, if you'll take just a second, let us go over here, if you will, to the book of Psalms, and this is illustrated beautifully over here in Psalms, if you will, chapter 51. So let's go here just a second, and we'll wait a minute here while you turn in your Bibles here, because we would like for you to follow along, if you will. In Psalms chapter 51, we find out here, which is the Psalm of David here, that he prays for the remission of sins and for sanctification or separation. Now, in verse 7, we find in the 51st Psalm, David said, Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Forgive me, Lord. He realized that he was unclean. He realized that he was not as white as snow. he realized there was some dirt in his life, some sin in his life. And then in verse 8, he said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities, and create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then in verse 11, cast me not from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And in the Old Testament now, you must realize that the Holy Spirit did not permanently indwell anyone. It came upon men, and it left for men. In the New Testament now, in the church age we're in, God promised that the Holy Spirit would never be taken away from the believer. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption or the rapture of the church. So you must understand in the Old Testament here that the Holy Spirit came upon men, and especially for power in their lives to do a particular task that God would have them to do. So what David is saying, don't take your Holy Spirit. I want the power in my life, and please do not take that away. Now, in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, notice something that is very interesting here in these two verses, especially in verse 8 and also in verse 12. He said, make me to hear joy. And then in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He did not say, restore unto me thy salvation. He never lost his salvation, but he lost the joy of his salvation. And that's exactly when sin and being in a backslidden condition can do, means you have went away from the Lord. And when you do, you lose the joy of walking with the Lord, the joy of being obedient, the joy of having the blessings of God upon your life, working things out that you could not work out. And that happened in David's life. It may be happening in your life that are listening here this morning. And then he goes on, if you'll do that, confess that to the Lord as David did here. Restore unto me the joy, and God will do that to you, and uphold me with thy free spirit. That simply in terms would mean this. Lord, I'm trusting that you'll lift me up by the Holy Spirit, that you will help make me strong. I realize that I'm weak. I cannot do it myself. And you see, God just wants you to be honest with him. He knows your weaknesses and he knows mine. But when we're honest with him, confess that to the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Realize that when we go out in our own strength, we fall flat on our face. But when we go in the power of the Lord and ask him to uphold me with thy free spirit, dear Lord, you help me. You hold me up so that I don't fall. I need your help. I cannot do it myself. Then the Lord loves to do that because you have the fellowship and you realize that you must be dependent upon the Lord in order to have that joy and that Christian walk that God wants you to have. And then in verse 13, when you do that, and then as we tie this in here with 1 John chapter 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then in verse 13 here of Psalms 51, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Do you know that people are watching your life there? And they're watching you. There will be those that see a change in your life that will be converted. That means they'll be turned around. They'll see that you have something different. You're not the old person you used to be, and you have a tremendous influence upon someone else. So we find out here, clear back to Jonah now, in verse 12, he said, you cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm. And we find out, as Jonah, a type of the Lord Jesus, he said, you're going to have peace in your life if you'll cast me over, and he's a type of Christ. And we find out that you have to have the substitute of someone paying for your sins if you want the calm and the peace in your life. Then it only comes by the sacrificial death of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Now, we come on down and begin to look here, if you will. And we find in verse 15, so they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And then in verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now we're going to stop here a minute, because I want to digress a second and bring in something here that I do not enjoy bringing in, but I have never seen, really, in these last days before the rapture of the church, I've never seen the devil's delusion taking such an effect, not upon lost people as much as it is upon Christians. And notice something, if you will. Then in verse 16, the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Here, these men right here, right after they threw Jonah into the sea. They feared the Lord immediately. Now, when I compare this with some of the things that I see going on today, especially in the television ministry of many of the empires that are being built by men themselves, admiration they are claiming to themselves. Now, they'll not tell you that over television, but the things and the practices that they're doing under the guise of Christianity is absolutely deplorable. I don't think they fear the Lord at all, or they could not do the things that they do. And yet, I feel compelled to speak out against it, not in one sense. You say you're attacking God's men? I'm not so sure they're God's men, even though they proclaim to be, because if they were, they would not practice the dishonesty that they practice and try to fleece the people. And as the paper, I'm going to read you an article here that I cut out just a couple of days ago, and I think it's so amazing when you see lost men and you see writers of newspapers that have more discernment than so-called Christians to today, that becomes pathetic. Let me read you the article here, and I'm only tying it in with this. I think it's time something needs to be said about it and expose some of these things to let you know that are listening that not every preacher goes along with these things that are projected on television and the gimmicks and that are used to, as the paper says here, actually commit fraud. And I want to speak out against it. I'm in disagreement with it. I'm not for these men because I don't believe they're for the Lord. Even though they talk it, I do not believe they can practice what they do and actually be on the Lord's side. Now, in fact, I want to bring out something in Matthew chapter 7 when it says, many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons? Have we not done many wonderful works? Then the Lord will say to them, then you depart from me. I never knew you. You did not belong to me. You preached, yes, you got up, you mentioned my name periodically. You had your telethons, and you hired hundreds of people to raise millions of dollars. But you know what? If you would have really, really trusted me, you wouldn't have had to do that. The Lord said, you get out away from me. I never knew you. You talked about me, but I didn't know you. Let me read you something very interesting here, and I'm only tying it in with this. These men, when they cast Jonah overboard, feared the Lord, but these men today and some of these empires that are being built do not fear the Lord, or they could not do what they're doing. Let me read this to you, if I may. Appeared in a newspaper here, a national newspaper. It says, $375,000 apartment. Let me read it to you, if I may. I think it's worth bearing. Many of you may have already. It's syndicated. Maybe you have already read it. It says, trusting souls who mail money to TV evangelists should heed the latest word about the PTL, that's Praise the Lord Club, a broadcast ministry based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Last May, PTL bemoaned debts of $5 million, and they begged bigger donations. In August, leader Jim Baker sought money on a telecast by reading a long list of overdue bills. And then in August, the PTL laid off 100 employees to save money. An October newsletter said, PTL, and I quote, is facing a financial crisis, and now, more than ever, the Barkers and other leaders of this ministry are spending a lot of time on their knees. Now, the next paragraph says, what Barker did not tell TV followers was that the PTL paid $375,000 in October to buy him a luxury oceanfront Florida condominium apartment. You'd think I was reading about Rex Humbard. He did that here in the last year or so. He bought two. He sold one, got another and a million or so, a little more expensive, along with his son. Well, I'll say this for him. His son stays at least $500,000 behind Father Rex. But let me keep on reading. The Charlotte Observer discovered this hideaway. At least they had some men on the paper or on the staff that sought into this to seek it out. And the sad thing I say again is, it's sad when you find that newspaper reporters and things like that have more discernment than what some so-called Christians do that sit in their home to get jacked up by these telephone marathons that are going on the PTL and some of these other gigantic empires that are being built, and you're helping it. Maybe you're listening this morning and you've sent money there. Let me tell you what you sent it for. You sent it to buy Jim Baker a $375,000 apartment on a luxury oceanfront Florida condominium. That's what you sent it for. But just prior to that, he needed $5 million to keep the broadcast on, got on there and cried and begged. And just the other night, he had Rex Humbard on there. These guys float back and forth like you would not believe. You scratch my back, and I'll scratch your back. And the only reason I'm saying this is, I am amazed that they don't have any fear of God for what they're doing. But let me read on, if I may. The paper also learned that PTL spent $65,000 outfitting Baker's Charlotte dressing room with gold-plated plumbing. Boy, that sounds good. I don't know if you come to this pastor's house, you're going to find any gold-plated plumbing or not. But anyway, the last line, let me read this to you. It's sad, and I repeat again. When newspaper men and people maybe outside, whether these men are Christians or not, I do not know. But when they sense there's a discrepancy and dig into it and find out these things, and here sit Christians at home, and these men have more discernment than what Christians do. Now, in any business besides revivalism, such an operator would be arrested for fraud. This is the kind of projection that these men are leaving upon society today. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know how these men could have any kind of fear of God. In Jonah, when they cast Jonah forth, they feared the Lord. And you know this, we're in a time, folks, and I want to say this because I really think it needs to be emphasized. You know, we're in a time when Christians need to have discernment. All these things are, and sending and begging money. I've got so many things through the mail just last week. I suppose I've got 4, 5, or 6 different things begging money. I got one from the Faldwell Institution. He had had a large print Bible made just for Mother. And it all ended up, if I'd be a faith partner or so forth, for $105 a minimum, I could have this beautiful Bible and a couple little pins worth probably 40 or 50 cents and one thing or another. And the whole emphasis is to play on your emotionalism. He did this just for Mother. And these things, I hate to say this and speak out against this, but you know, I think people need to have a little reassurance that every pastor does not go along with these kind of gimmicks, these kind of things. And you take some of the broadcasts like Radio Bible Class and a few of them, you never hear them pull any of these kind of shenanigans that are being pulled to build these empires. They're on there to do the Lord's work, to preach the Bible. They fear the Lord. And when some of these men, you begin to watch them, they'll float from one to the other in order to get money. Well, let's give Mr. Rex Humbard a big hand. Let's pat him on so on and so forth. Where is the fear of the Lord in these kind of shenanigans that are being pulled? I want to let you know this pastor doesn't go along with it. I'm opposed to it diametrically. I don't want any part of it whatsoever. And I want to at least express to you that I'm against it 100%. Well, I am amazed that so many Christians, and I suppose some are Christians, some aren't, that sit at home and watch this, and you pay for these condominiums that these big television men are doing, fleecing you, when I will say honestly, you need to get into a good local independent church. If you need someone to preach a funeral, you think Jim Baker is going to come and preach your funeral? If you get depressed, do you think you're going to get him to come and counsel you and to help you with the Word of God? That's the reason God instituted the local church. And folks, I want to say this. Your finances belongs to the local assembly where God has instilled a pastor to pastor and minister to the people in the local area where he's at. When you begin to get away from these basic things, you find out fraud can come in. And I'll say this. These reporters of this newspaper in Charlotte, North Carolina, have a lot more discernment than some so-called Christians, but it's a sign of the times. It's pathetic when we're looking at those things in the last days. I hope you'll consider, no one can tell you where to put your finances, but I can say this biblically, if you're a person that supported some of these things with all this line that sounds so good, and we can cry in a second if we thought it would get us a $100 donation per month or per year, well, we can cry on the spot. But I want to say this, you've got to have as a Christian some discernment. And according to the Bible teaching, your finances, your tithes belong to the local church that you belong to so that that pastor can be supported by your free will offerings, your offerings to the Lord. You can see souls saved in that church And many of you have used this television thing as a cop-out for not going to church to get your spiritual uplift, when in reality you're just too lazy to read your Bible and to go to church, and you ought to realize that these things are not of the Lord. They are not. And I hope that maybe a few things said might challenge you to fulfill your responsibility and to get up, go to church, be there, not in spirit. We like to see the bodies in church, and that's where God wants you. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and take your tithes and give it to your local assembly, a good Bible-believing church that is winning souls to Jesus Christ. You have a part of it, and be honest with yourself. Don't use these TV evangelists for a cop-out to not fulfill your responsibility to be in church where God wants you to be. Support that local church and support that pastor so he can go out here and win souls to Christ, and he's the one you'll call when you need consultation. He's the one you call when you need an uplift, and he's the one to call when you need someone married or someone to preach a funeral. You'll never get Jim Barker to do that. Try Jerry Faldwell. Try Rex Humbard and his $3 million condominium and see what. You're in a time, Christian, when you need to exercise discernment and not fall for every line of these Tom, Dick, and Harrys that are building empires on your ignorance. I'm not saying this maliciously, only as a challenge. I hope you'll discern the spirits so you'll fear the Lord, because I have very few doubts. I have many doubts if these men do, or they wouldn't do the things they're doing. Well, we did not get very far, but I think some of these things need to be said. I think you need to know where we stand as Faith Baptist Church, myself as a pastor, and I hope it'll challenge you to take the same stand according to the Word of God. Well, our time's gone. I thank you for being with us this Sunday morning. I hope that you'll take a minute and sit down and write us, and we're so happy to get your letters. We appreciate it very much. Remember, if you want any of the books, to write us here and request them, we'll send them to you. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.